May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 384. Regard, great God, my mournful prayer. Make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384.
read together from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause, shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence, till thou hast paid the utmost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old times, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but thou shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Dear Lord, we come now to thee, who seest every heart and knowest us all together, and we seek thou wouldst look down upon us in thy rich mercy, that we may know thy presence in thy earthly courts this night, and that thy blessing may rest upon thy holy word of truth. O come and send down the Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to begin that work of grace in the souls of those gathered here, and where that work is already begun, gracious God, wilt thou continue it? May there be that growth in grace and in the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord. May we be enabled by faith to rest in thy arms of love and mercy. May we be enabled by faith to trust in thee. May we be enabled to come to thee and bring those exceeding great and precious promises that thou hast spoken into our hearts, and plead them before thee. May we be enabled to keep our eyes on Jesus fixed. Give us strength and grace and wisdom and understanding in thy holy word. And may thy truth have free course and be glorified. Glorified in the hearts of the hearers as they are brought to receive it in the love of it, and to understand it and see in it that which leads to eternal life. The Lord, we stand before thee as fallen creatures, creatures of a day. We have not a day to call our own. The future is all unknown to us. We cannot see into the future. And many times we're thankful we cannot. But gracious God, we pray for faith, that we may be enabled to trust in thee at all times, and to pour out our heart before thee. And as we have sung in thy house this day, so would we pray, guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim, through this barren land, plant that prayer in the hearts of those who are gathered here this night. That thou wouldst lead us and teach us, and keep our eyes up to thee in heaven, that we may be enabled to trust in thee, to roll every burden upon thee, to be as clay in the hands of the heavenly potter, to be still then know that thou art God. Go before us in life's pathway. Lord, thy ancient people could look back as they journeyed through that wilderness to the good hand of their God that had provided and led. Many times, Lord, did they murmur and, Lord, had distrusted thee and wished they were back in Egypt. Lord, the way to the promised land was through the wilderness. And so it is spiritually with us each. The way to heaven is through this world, in which thou hast said, through much tribulation, ye shall enter the kingdom. You watch the young, gracious God, and know not what lies before them. Look back in our own lives over all the way the Lord our God has led us. Many paths, sorrows, sufferings, weakness, Lord, we would have avoided had we known. But gracious God, we have proved that in the valleys of sorrows and tribulation, as it's been there, that we have had sweet fellowship and communion with thyself, the man of sorrow. Lord, we would remember that thou thyself, Lord Jesus Christ, didst walk this earth in thy sacred humanity, and that now in heaven, Lord, thou dost understand. Thou art touched. What a blessed word that is. Love and mercy. Lord, bring thee to understand and put forth thy dear hand in the hearts and lives of those that seek thy face and they walk with thee and have sweet fellowship with thyself. Oh, to then ever remember that thou changest not. And the solemn truths that are written in thy holy word, this same Jesus shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. Open the eyes of the blind. Grant the gift of faith, which is the gift of God, that, Lord, there may be that new birth wrought in the heart, which thou didst tell thy servant Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When Nicodemus said to thee, how can these things be? Thy response was, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Lord, may there be a searching of heart in the congregation this night. Do we know these things? Have we heard the voice of our God as he called us out of nature's darkness into his marvelous light? Brought us in prayer to his footstool of mercy. Thou dost move in a mysterious way. Lord, we see it so often in thy holy word. Thou didst go into Samaria to that well, and that woman came to the well at the same time as thou didst sit there, weary with thy journey. And thou didst lead her by thy teaching to know that thou wast the eternal Son of God. She said, I know that Messiah is coming, And thou didst say, I that speak unto thee am he. And yet, gracious God, thou knowest she was a great sinner, yet greatly loved. And Lord, we pray that thou wouldst move and work. Lord, thou dost take thy dear children, one of a family, two of a city, and bring them to Zion. And dear Lord, we pray in the churches that others may be brought in, those that creep in unawares, as we have witnessed even this day. Lord, we pray that thy word may be used to give divine life in the heart, and that there may be, gracious God, manifest a work which is of thy Spirit, that, Lord, which will stand the test of time and eternity, and be found at the last to have been thy workmanship. Gather others in, we pray thee, to the churches. Move and work, hear and answer prayer. Come by thy Spirit, Lord, and touch the heart. And O grant that may be a godly increase in the sanctuaries of God, and that thy holy word may be with life and power as thy servants preach it. Look upon all thy dear people in afflictions and sorrows, in hospital, and many in age and infirmities, in weakness of mind and body. We are constantly reminded, as thy holy word teaches us, that all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And dear Lord, we pray that the word of our God may abide and rest in our hearts, and that we may know him whom to know is life eternal. Our dear servant said, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Dear Lord, thou hast left in thy holy word and teaching while here on earth simple instructions to approach thy mercy seat, that open place for young and old, before thy glorious throne in heaven, where thou dost ever live to intercede in thy humanity, Lord, as risen from this earth. Oh, may we come there in the simplicity of thy exhortation, ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Lord, thou hast equally said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And we pray there may be given grace to come and to ask, to seek and to find, to knock, and to have that blessed door open. Lord, thou didst say, when here on earth I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Men see nothing in thyself, despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, And thy church says, we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But Lord, when thy work is begun in the heart, then thy people can say, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. O grant that there may be an exercise to be found in the living family of God. Numbered with them may I be now and through eternity, and that grace may be given to seek earnestly the best gift. As one said, to wrestle on toward heaven mid storm and wind and tide. Send down thy Holy Spirit, the Comforter, into thy church. And grant, gracious God, that his comfort may be known in the soul and the souls of those who are troubled. For there is no other comfort to be compared with that divine comfort in this world. Today thou dost know the pathway of thy dear people, and feelingly enter into it. We pray for thy servants and the churches, thy servants, as they stand up in thy holy name this day. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst remember them and grant them the anointing of thy Spirit. Peculiarly and above all else, we pray that the power of the Spirit may rest upon the ministry of the word, that Lord, there may be fruit attending it, that thy will may be done in earth as it is in heaven, that thy church, dear Lord, may be brought one day in its entirety to be with thee where thou art. Thou said they shall come from the north and the south and the east and the west will I gather. And we pray, dear Lord, for that gathering. Use thy human instruments, thy sent servants, human instruments in the purposes of God. Even the foolishest of preaching, Lord, use it. We pray thee, even this night, in accordance with thy will and purposes, that work may be begun and carried on and come to fruition in thy own ordered time and way. Lord, we pray once again, thou send other labourers into thy vineyard, those whom thou hast eternally ordained to the work. Dear Lord, come and build up the churches. And O grant, as thy servants are gathered home one by one, their labours over, so others may take their place. Lord, we pray for the prodigals that are gone out from the house of God. Those who have no hunger and have had no hunger for the word of God. O gracious God, grant that there may yet be a coming to themselves in that far-off land and a turning again to their father's house. Dear Lord, we pray for this nation. Thou hast favoured it over the centuries with great outpourings of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, has used it in the distribution of the scriptures throughout the world, the translation of thy holy word into many languages. And dear Lord, we pray, have mercy on us now, for thou seest the great heathen darkness, the humanism that now pervades our society. And as one of our judges has said, we're no longer a Christian nation. And he speaks the truth. We have turned our back upon thy holy word. We have turned our back upon thy holy law. We have turned our back upon thy holy day. And there is within this land a culture that there is neither right nor wrong. Every man doeth his own thing. O gracious God, turn us back again. Thou hast said that not one jot or one tittle of thy holy law will be altered. O send out thy light and thy truth. Send down the Holy Spirit to convict and to convince of sin. We know that nothing but an almighty power can turn this once favored land back to thy holy word and thy holy law, and to the keeping of thy holy day, that day upon which thou didst rise from the dead and ascend to glory. Lord, then we pray for those in authority over us, the Queen and the royal household. Gracious God, we pray for the Prime Minister and his cabinet and our Parliament. Oh, give our rulers wisdom. But oh, grant, gracious God, that as we have been a witness in our own lifetime, in the last great war, to our King, calling this land nationally to prayer, how far we have become removed from that leadership. And dear Lord, we have sunk into a humanistic, atheistic society. But we pray that I was remember the tiny remnant in the land that hold fast to thy word. And oh, grant to them grace to stand as we are a witness to the clouds of persecution rising about thy people who stand against the laws of this land, so alien to thy holy word, and stand against them on account of conscience. Gracious God, then, remember us as a nation, preserve to us our sovereignty, our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution, and oh, have mercy upon us. Now, Lord, we seek thy presence in the sanctuary of God this night. Once again, grant the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Touch our lips with a live coal from thy heavenly altar. Fill our earthen vessel. Grant grace and wisdom, and use thy truth according to thy sovereign purposes. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaims. Hymn number 13.
seeking the Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, reading from chapter 61, reading verses 2 and 3. Chapter 61, reading verses 2 and 3. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. As no doubt you will know, this was the text of the first sermon that Jesus preached in the synagogue at Nazareth, the beginning of his ministry. He has put upon it a divine seal that this is the meaning of it. He himself was that good tidings. And the time that is spoken of here, the acceptable year of the Lord, was that time when he should come as the eternal Son of God incarnate into this world and take into union with his deity, his Godhead, a perfect, holy, spotless humanity, body and soul, that he might offer himself a sacrifice for sin. It was a day appointed by God in all the prophecies of the Old Testament. He himself took them up on the road to Emmaus, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And what a wonder that is. The divine gift of prophecy that goes back into the Old Testament and right to the creation, the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and thou, that is the serpent, shall bruise his heel. Here was the eternal Son of God coming into this world that he might offer himself on Calvary's cross a sacrifice for sin. And as you have sung in that last hymn of Joseph Hart, he refers himself to having broken the heart of his God. Jesus came here into this world to be a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. He came to walk out the pathway of his dear church, whom he had eternally loved, and in the deep mystery of it, he who in the dawn of creation had said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So he came here in his own humanity, in that sacred day when he came to Bethlehem's manger. He came here to be the light of the world. The darkness in which man was since the fall in Adam, the vast unbelief and sin and evil. He came here into this dark world. Man, unregenerate, despising the truth, as we read in this prophecy, despised and rejected of men. Yet, he came here to bring his dear people in this acceptable day. It was peculiarly acceptable to his Father. It was the appointed time that he would come here into this earth. And we see the wonder of it, that the eternal God was in his dear Son, in his holy humanity, the only acceptable sacrifice that could put away the sins of his whole church. And he had, as we read in this prophecy, to bear those sins in his own body on the tree. So is the gospel that God's anointed servants are sent to preach. It is, as the prophet describes it here, good tidings to the meek, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of salvation, but equally the day of vengeance of our God. When the Lord revealed himself to his servant Moses on Sinai, and Moses asked the Lord to show him his glory, what Moses was expecting, we do not know. But the Lord's answer was simply this: I'll make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. Thereupon the Lord hid his servant in a cleft of the rock and passed by. And what did he do? He revealed his name. And the name was this: the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression and sin. Then came this most solemn of all words, but will by no means clear the guilty. And in this acceptable day of the Lord, this gospel day of good tidings, there lies this solemn truth: the day of vengeance of our God. He will not pass over sin. And the hymn writer says, out of Christ. That is, out of a union with him. Out of Christ, almighty power can do nothing but devour. This same Jesus will be our judge, yours and mine. We are fast heading toward meeting him face to face, entering into his immediate presence. He is the judge of all the earth. And it is said of him, unto him every knee will bow. This solemn day of vengeance, he came to fulfill the law. Oh, the solemnity of that holy law of God: the wages of sin is death. And as you will no doubt have noticed in that sermon and that chapter, the fifth of Matthew, which we read together, again and again there comes in that solemn word, hellfire. Jesus spoke of it again and again, this solemn, awful day of vengeance of our God, when the wicked will be cast into hell, and those that know not God. And we see it here. The prophet speaks of this day of vengeance, the day when the books will be opened, and the judge of all the earth will judge humanity according to the deeds done in the body. And Christ many times spoke of this solemn day In many ways he spoke of the day of vengeance. He spoke on one occasion, three times, at that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That is the worm of conscience and the fire of God's wrath. On other occasions, he spoke so solemnly of being cast into outer darkness with the devil and his angels. If anyone knew, then Christ knew the solemn situation after death. And how shall we stand in that great day? To be found on the left hand of the throne of God will be to be lost and cast out forever. Christ spoke of the wise and the foolish virgins. They blended together. They went to the same place at the same time. They had the same hopes. But there was a distinction. Hidden in their lamps, that one had oil and the other didn't. And that is grace in the hearts of God's dear children. To have known him here below, to have known his love, that is what grace is, his love and his mercy. To have known him as our God, to have communed with him, oh then, it will be to be found on that right hand of the throne of God. In that solemn day which is coming, the day of vengeance of our God, then it'll be our mercy to know him here below. And as I've said before, and I repeat it this evening, the anthem of those who are upon the right hand of the throne of God is this: unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. That is the gratitude and the praise of God's dear church. And such will not know the day of vengeance of their God. They will not be cast into outer darkness. But how solemn will be the case of those who have sat under the sound of the gospel all their lives, untouched by it, living in a form of religion, thinking they were wise when they weren't, having no oil in their lamps, knowing nothing of the word of Christ in their heart, that blessed application of the truth spoken by the Holy Spirit into their souls, how solemn will be their case. They will awake to an astonishment, to a solemn astonishment, that they are under the vengeance of God. And that they will hear that awful word: depart from me, I never knew you. But unto those who have been brought under the blessed tidings of the gospel, and to whom the gospel has been sweet to their taste, they will hear these words: enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Why, we see in these words, in these three texts here today, that the primary object of God's attention is his people. And here is outlined constantly their condition. The way they feel when the Lord deals with them and gives them light and life in their hearts, they become mourners. Are you a mourner? I believe some of you are. In fact, I'm certain some of you are. And Jesus was a mourner. He understands the path of mourning. And what are you mourning about? And what are you mourning over? Ah, I may speak out of my own heart. When the end of life's journey, we look back to those years of our youth. Oh, so many solemn sins. So many departures from God. So much rebellion and willfulness. I believe this, you know, that we shall mourn over it all the days of our life and wish that some of those footsteps we walked in, we had never walked in. But we have in our text here to comfort all that mourn. God's dear people, as you sang in that hymn, they mourn with a broken-hearted God. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. And the Lord does, many years later often, bring to roost the condemnation of the sins of our youth. The psalmist said, make me not to possess the sins of my youth. But the Lord in rich mercy comforts those who mourn. And how? The comfort of the Holy Spirit is to take of the things of Jesus and to apply them in the heart. And that is the precious blood of Christ over our sins. Here on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ opened a fountain for sin and all uncleanness. And you hear this again and again from the pulpit. This is a good tidings. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And you'll not be satisfied to hear that. You'll want more than that. You'll want it applied in your own heart. You'll want it from the lips of your own God, spoken into your own soul. You'll want that redeeming love and blood to be known in your own heart. I know this, that there is no comfort in this world outside of God the Holy Spirit. He is the great comforter of the Church of Christ. Others may attempt to comfort us, and good it is to offer comfort to others and to sympathize and to mourn with those that mourn, but the greatest comfort that we can know in this life is when God draws near to us himself by his Holy Spirit and drops the sweet word of comfort into our hearts. And then it will be to have fellowship with him who mourned here below. Oh, how he understands the case of his dear people. And that beautiful word which I never feel to be able to get to the bottom of, he is touched. Oh, to think that the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the creator of this universe in whom our life and upon whom our life and breath depends, is touched with the feelings of his dear people. He stoops down into their pathway, and I think that many of his dear people say, but can't understand how he can be touched with feeling of my infirmities. I'm such a sinner. I have so much in my life that should never have been. I have so much to mourn over. Oh, hymn writer speaks of him as a mourner all his days. And I believe it was as a man of sorrows here below, now in glory, he, in his sacred humanity, is able to enter in to the pathway of his dear church. One point that comes to mind is this temptation. Oh, deep are the mysteries of the temptations of Christ. we shall never fathom them. But I'm thinking of this, Gethsemane's garden. And as he came to the cross of Calvary, so he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. How many times have we said in our hearts, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Oh, we have to go through much tribulation to enter the kingdom, and it's in that solemn tribulation, the path ordained of God for us, that he will draw near and show us that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When he dealt with the parable of the Good Samaritan, beautifully we read, this was Christ in the figure of the Good Samaritan, came just where he was, stooped down and poured in oil and wine into his wounds, and so he does to his dear condemned people walking in darkness and having no light, mourning over themselves and after him, weeping to his mercy seat. He comforts all who mourn. And that is a blessed experience. It may well be, and I speak out of my own experience in natural mournings and bereavements, very sweet when the Lord gives grace in our solemn mournings to be able to say the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. But there are some crosses which are very heavy. Those things which we have sown and which we're now reaping, and we feel that the hand of God, as Job felt it, had gone out against him. Jacob knew the solemnity of reaping what he'd sown, but comfort all who mourn. Jacob mourned for Joseph, and he mourned 20 years. That is a long time, but the work of God was in his heart, 40 years of chastening, and the Lord dealt and worked, but he was to comfort him. Joseph is yet alive, and he was to see him, go and see him yet again. When he came to his dying hour, Joseph was there, and he could speak to him as he did of the mercy of his God. He died, dear Jacob did, in sweet comfort, leaning, as we read in Hebrews, upon his staff. And his staff was those exceeding great and precious promises which the Lord in his rich mercy has touched with the feeling of his infirmities had given to him. Those precious truths which he had spoken in his heart, to comfort all that mourn in Zion, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Well, this word ashes means something to me. You know, it speaks of a fire, a fiery furnace. And the Lord works in the lives of those whom he has eternally loved and brings them down. It may be in their natural strength. It may be under deep spiritual conviction. But he comes and brings them to ashes. That is, no strength at all. Job speaks of that when he speaks of knowing that his Redeemer liveth. And there he says of it, though my reins be consumed within me, that speaks to us of the consuming of those reins of strength. It is speaking of the figure of the horse, and there is no pulling, there is utter weakness, though my reins be consumed within me. And God brings his dear church under his divine power and his dealings with them, whether in providence or in grace, to ashes. Sometimes he combines both providence and grace together, brings them down in their physical strength, and brings them down in their heart, tries their faith until it is but a grain of mustard seed. But his purpose is to give beauty. Oh, what is this beauty? I tell you this, it is Christ. Oh, how he himself walked this earth and came to Calvary's cross. Oh, the utter path of weakness, and yet equally, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We cannot fathom, never shall, the path he walked. We cannot fathom the weight of the sins of his whole church that he bore in his body on the tree. We cannot fathom how he was made a curse for us who knew no sin. We see the transaction and witness the scene. But it'll be our mercy to know a little of the sweet fruits of Calvary in our hearts. And that is when the Lord brings his dear people to be dust and ashes in his sight. There's a lovely hymn of James Montgomery. Though dust and ashes in thy sight, we must draw near. Another verse in that hymn made very precious to me 40 or 50 years ago. Faith in the only sacrifice that did for sin atone, to cast our eyes, to fix our hopes on Christ alone. This ashes is the figure that speaks of the experience of his dear saints in the pathway when the Lord is dealing with them and bringing them down, as he did Job, to nothing, and bringing them down to his mercy seat to know his strength. And then it is to receive beauty for ashes. That beauty is the robe of righteousness. The bride, we read in the book of the Revelation, hath made herself ready, and to her was given that she should be arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And that righteousness is the righteousness of the eternal Son of God incarnate, which he produced in his world walk here in this earth, as he kept his Father's holy law in that holy, sacred body prepared for him in the womb of the Virgin. He did no sin. I do always those things, he said, that please thee. And when he came to Calvary's cross, not only did he wash his dear people in his precious blood from their sins, but he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that was the perfection of his obedience, which perfected that glorious righteousness. I quote from John Bunyan in the sermon of Mr. Greatheart. He says in that sermon of Greatheart to Christiana that Christ had four righteousnesses. One was his righteousness as the eternal Son of God. One was his righteousness in his glorious humanity. One was his righteousness as the great high priest of his church, which was the union of the righteousness of his humanity and deity combined. It was in that office that he was the great high priest of his church. And he says he had a fourth righteousness. That was the righteousness of his holy obedience to his Father's holy law. And Bunyan says, he did not need that righteousness, and he gave it to his people. That is very precious. that the Lord gives this righteousness to his people. Ashes speaks of their fallen, utterly lost and ruined condition. They're brought to nothing. How true was it that Toplady wrote, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." Great mercy. And the Lord brings his people, his church, down to ashes and gives them beauty for ashes. And when they're brought down in their poverty, blessed are the poor in spirit, said Christ. A beautiful sermon we have read this evening on the Mount. The pathway of all God's dear people. And what a pathway it is. But that was the work of God, and is the work of God, to lead them in this way. And then this, the oil of joy for mourning. Well, when God's dear people, by his Spirit, are brought to be mourners here in this world, and are brought to godly sorrow and repentance, and to mourn over their sins, and to go back over it again and again, the Lord is bringing them on that road to deliverance, and to give them the oil of joy. But how is it done? Solely and alone, through faith in that only sacrifice. It is as you and I are brought into union with the eternal Son of God, as he spoke in his prayer at the Last Supper, "I in them and thou in me." He spoke of the vine and the branches, the sap that flowed and the fruit that was on it. Oh, when we look at these blessed figures, we see that our joy must come from his presence, known and felt in our hearts, that he must draw near to us. And we must know that joy of his strength, his presence, his pardoning blood upon our hearts and consciences. The joy will be this, that a child of God will be able to say, "I'm clean. Just God, I'm clean." Jesus spoke to the disciples at the Last Supper as he washed their feet, a word again very precious to me. He said to them, "Ye are clean." Reminds me of the words of the Pharisees, "Who can forgive sins?" And they knew the answer well, "God only." How blessedly true that was of Christ, "Ye are clean, through the word that I have spoken unto you." And there is the joy of his dear saints. As we have preached today, it is the joy of being liberated from the prison, brought out of darkness and death, and brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. A broken-hearted, mourning sinner approaching a holy God, touched with the feeling of their infirmity, bringing them to their knees in brokenness of heart and humility, meekness, and there to know something in that hour of confession and the hand of pardon and peace resting upon them. Divine approbation. To hear the words of Christ, the sweet promises of God known in our hearts, that will give us the joy that is spoken of here, the oil of joy of a morning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Well, There are many words describing the child of God as taught by the Spirit that lie here. Do any of them fit your case? Are you a mourner? Are you a prisoner, a captive? But we come to this one. Do you know solemn heaviness in your heart? Weighted down under the weight of your sins. Weighted down under the weight of your unbelief. Encompassed with darkness. The prophet here in the 51st chapter of Isaiah here speaks of that pathway of God's dear people. And he speaks here of let him that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. You know, here they are, walking under the spirit of heaviness. They cannot draw near to God. They mourn an absent God. They mourn the weight of their sins and the darkness upon them. And yet they're in the way. I was going to say almost unbeknown to themselves. They're in the way. The spirit of heaviness. What does the world know about it? The darkness cannot pray. Heavens are iron and brass. And as scripture speaks so often, they're mourners. And they know this solemn spirit of heaviness. You see, in that 50th chapter, we read of the foolish virgins. Behold ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. And the instruction, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have at mine hand. Ye shall lie down in your sorrow. That religion has no heaviness. They can kindle their own sparks of joy, but not the child of God. He waits for the Lord to be gracious. He is waiting for his God to draw near and give him this garment of praise. And what a blessed garment it is. It is, as we have spoken this night, in the language of Count Zanzendorf, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress, midst flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. No one can give it to them. I am conscious in this pulpit I could never give it to a soul. Only the Holy Spirit of truth can himself take of the things of Jesus. His servants are but human instruments in his purposes. He is a sovereign God, and he alone will give this garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Our time is always ready. His is yet to come. And yet, when we look at it here below, I believe there are sips and foretastes of it, but there is an eternal garment of praise. When his dear saints reach glory, then to sing and to praise him for what he has done for them. The language of that hymn, praise my soul, the King of Heaven. Oh, we know so little of that praise here below. But the Lord will bring us down to ashes, to this spirit of heaviness, then to release his dear church into the glorious liberty of the children of God, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that is a beautiful figure. God plants his dear saints in his church here on earth, and they are described as trees of righteousness. That is, not their own, but God's imputed righteousness. What he has done for them, and what he has given to them, and what he is to them, they cannot see themselves in this light. But he, speaking of them, says this is his church, planted by God in his vineyard, as it were, in this world. And they are the planting. He takes the honour and the glory. And what lies in those trees is life. The life of God in their souls. Then he has planted. What has he planted here in this sanctuary of God? Where are those trees of righteousness? My thoughts are these. God knows. God knows what he has done here, where he is working, where there are those who have been rooted and grounded in the faith, where there has been that change wrought. Think of those words of one to me, I'm not what I was. Well, what were you? Now you're in the sanctuary of God, but still, you're not what you want to be. You have a hunger and thirst, a desire, you long, you wait. Sometimes you don't care, other times you're burdened. To know your title clear to mansions in the sky. But here this day is the glorious truth that lies here. Christ preaching from this sermon, this text, recorded in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And there are wonderful things said about this sermon. And we read that when the Lord preached them this sermon, that they looked in wonder. They began to reason. Who is this, they said? Who can forgive sins but God only? And he went on to speak to them, and they were amazed. He spoke as one that had authority. May the Lord bless the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, and use it to his own honour and glory. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £808, and on Monday for our Needy Cases Fund, £1,051, for both of which we would be very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening to be addressed by Mr. Broom, and Mr. Richard Woodhams is expected to preach on Thursday evening. And next Lord's Day there'll be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Raymond Woodhams is expected in the evening, if the Lord will. We also hope to have a church meeting on Friday evening, and the Gospel Standard Trust will hold its annual meeting at Fenstanton on Saturday afternoon. Let us close with hymn 938. When thou, my righteous judge, shalt come to take thy ransomed people home, shall I among them stand? Shall such a worthless worm as I who sometimes am afraid to die, be found at thy right hand. Hymn 938.
Thank you. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.